I will say good morning. I apologize that I'm not able to be there with you in person this morning. Baruch Hashem, I have a wedding in New Jersey that I have to get to, but I truly appreciate all of Meishi's efforts in ensuring that this year continues, and hopefully, Mirza Hashem, this recording will come out all right, and the video will come out all right, and Mirza Hashem will still have the privilege to be able to learn together, even if it's not exactly as it is each and every day. So, we pick up today. Today's daf is Yevamos Kuf Yud Gimel, and we pick up from Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis the Gemara. Amrai Bar Chama, Maishno Chirish VeChareshes, Detakinu Lul Rabbanu Nisuin, O Maishno Deshota VeShota Delo Takinu Lul Rabbanu Nisuin. So the Gemara Amrai Bar Chama asks a very simple question. He explains that why is it in the Mishnah? The Mishnah explains that a Chirish and Chareshes. Remember, Chirish and Chareshes unqualified always means the deaf mute. Why is it that people who are man or woman who are deaf-mute have the ability to affect Kiddushin, albeit Dirabanan, but yet the Shota or the Shota, the people who are mentally deranged, do not have that ability to go ahead and affect Kiddushin? To which the Gemara says, Disanyo, Shota v'katan shenasu nashim umesu nishosehem. If a Shota or a Katan went ahead and married women, and then they died, the husbands died. The Shota or Katan husband died without children. So the halacha is, nishosehen peturos mina chalitza mina yibum, that their wives are peturos from chalitza and from yibum. In other words, that's another way of saying that they were unable to affect proper marriage. Because they are unable to affect proper marriage, therefore, again, if they die without children, their spouses are exempt from Yibum or Chalitza. On the other hand, Cherish v'Chareshas, Dekaima takanta derabanan. Excuse me, I'm sorry. On the other hand, so that's the kasha. So the Gemara is saying, you see from this brisa that a shota and a katan have an inability to affect kiddushin, yet cheresh and chareshes do. I would have thought the same way that Chazal established kiddushin for cheresh and chareshes, they also established kiddushin for a shota. To which the Gemara says, cheresh v'chareshes tekaima takanta derabanan, takinu luhu rabbanan nisuin. So literally translated, cheresh and chareshes, they have the ability to uphold rabbinic marriage. The rabbis went ahead and created rabbinic marriage for them. Shota v'shota delo kaima takanta derabanan. But on the other hand, shota and shota who can't uphold a rabbinic institution of marriage. Therefore, again, de'in adam dar im nachash b'kfifa achos, because a person can't live with the snake in one basket. Lo takin rabbanan nisuin. The rabbis did not establish nisuin. Now, what is this talking about? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, "Dekaima takanta derabanan shedarkon lihios shalom beinehem afilu cheresh and chareshes v'chol shekinkesha ish pikeach." See, interestingly enough, as much as a cheresh or chareshes may be compromised intellectually, they still have the ability to maintain shalom. So, because they have the ability to maintain shalom, therefore the rabbis instituted marriage for them. Shota, afilu bepikachos l'shota, v'shota lepikach, in shalom b'neim, v'koshkin shota shota. But I will say, a person who's a shota is obviously unpredictable. A person who's a shota, obviously, you know, we don't know what's going to be. So therefore, they have an inability to go ahead and preserve shalom within a marriage. Therefore, the rabbis could not institute rabbinic marriage to them. And I will say, here you see an incredible yisod, first of all, in marriage, and also in the sugya. What the Gemara is essentially saying is, if a person is able to get along with others, then we could create an institution of marriage. But if a person is unpredictable, person is not normal, a person can't control themselves, then it's unable for them to go ahead and build a marriage, build a home. And the truth is, it's not just true in Cherush and Shota, it's true in life as well, that the most important thing in the ability to be able to build a normative marriage is Shalom, is the ability to go ahead and coexist with the other. So the Gemara goes weiter. Why is it that a katan, that the rabbis did not go ahead and institute full-fledged marriage, but yet again, by the cheresh, they did. So Rashi says over here, Maishna katan diktani la'el shota v'katan, because remember again, the Gemara is referencing the brisa we just quoted, that if a katan married a woman and then died without children, that woman is not subject to yibum. Why didn't Chazal institute regular marriage for the katan? To which the Gemara says, cheresh talo asi l'chlal nisuin, takin rabbanu nisuin. A cheresh is never, his or her status is never going to change. So because of that, the rabbis have to institute some form of marriage for them. On the other hand, katan da asi lechlan nisuin, lo takin rabban nisuin, but a katan is going to be able to marry. A katan will have the opportunity to go at an effect normative marriage. Therefore, again, there's no need for us to effect for them some type of rabbinic marriage now. So Mar says, 1 second, vahari katana da asi lechlan nisuin, vitakin rabban nisuin, but that's not true. But what about, so that's all for a katan, that's for a male child. But we see again, for a female child, for a kitana, that the rabbis did institute a form of marriage for her. So why don't you apply that same argument, that since one day she's going to become a gedola, therefore there's no need to effect kiddushin for her now. Hasam, no. The reason why kiddush kitana, I'm also here, the Gemara is referring to kiddushay kitana dirabana, not talking about the father marries her off, because that we already expressed this from the Torah. This is from where the mother or brother marry her off. Why did they do that? Hasam, shlo yina guba min al-kefker. That, as we've seen before, is in order that people not take advantage of this girl who does not have a father. Literally, that they may do immoral things with her. So in order to safeguard her, the rabbis created this rabbinic framework of marriage for her. So why is it that a ketana, if she's in a rabbinic marriage, has the ability for miyun, but yet a chareshes, a female cheresh, if she is in a marriage, she doesn't have the ability for miyun. De'imkein, top of kuf yud gimel, de'imkein, mima'ani velo naspi. Because if that's the case, that people know that a chareshes would have the ability for miyun, no one would ever marry her. Because you can remember, even though the ketana has the ability for miyun, that's only for a certain amount of time. After she becomes a gedola, she's in the marriage, so a man could go ahead and live with that. He'll appease her until she becomes a gedola, and then ultimately they're fully married. But a chareshes, if a man knows that his wife, for their entire married lives, always has this option of miyun, no one's really going to want to get into a union like that. Umayshna ketana da achla b'truma, umayshna chareshes da lo achla b'truma. And why is it that a kitana, if she is married to a kohen, has the ability to go ahead and eat truma, but yet a chareshes, if she goes ahead and marries, if she marries a kohen, she cannot eat truma? This is not, because we learned, Heyed Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudo ala chareshes she'si avio. We learned about a chareshes whose father married her off. Now understand, even in the case of where a chareshes, his father married her off, that's still a dirabanan marriage, because anything a chareshes does will always be dirabanan. She yotze beget, that she could go ahead and be divorced with a get, meaning that she goes ahead, her father marries her off while she's a kitana, and her father, and she could be makabal beget, right? She could be makabal beget afterwards. Va'al kitana bas Yisrael, sheni says l'kohen. Okay, I'm sorry. V'akitana bas Yisrael sheni says l'kohen shochalas b'truma, and also we learned about a kitana who is a bas Yisrael who's married off to a kohen, that she's permitted to eat truma. And this is referring to, as she points out over here, a rabbinic marriage. Now, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudguda tells me two things: that if chareshes is married off by her father, then ultimately, again, she is able to receive her get. That's number one. Number two is that if ketana bas Yisrael marries a kohen, she eats truma. So the Gemara is medayik v'ilu chareshes lo achla. Now, the fact that it only speaks about truma consumption by a ketana indicates to us that if a chareshes is married off by her father, she doesn't have the ability to go ahead and eat the truma. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. V'lechol. Gzira shema ya'achil cheresh becharashes. Well, the concern over here is in a situation of where a cheresh marries a chareshes. We're concerned ultimately again that she may come to eat truma in that particular case. Actually, if you look at Rashi, Gzeres Shemiyachel Cherish Becharashas, Rashi says over here, Elakulam Yishon Gzeres Shemiyachel Cherish. Actually, I'm skipping out a little bit. Let's finish the Gemara. Velechol, I don't understand, so who cares? Let's say a Cherish Kohen marries a Chareshes girl. So the Gemara says, we're concerned about the case of where the father marries off the Chareshes to a Kohen. We're not going to let her eat truma in that case, lest you come to eat truma in a case of a cheresh that marries a chareshes. So Mar says, I don't think, what's the problem there? V'lechol katan ochal nevelosu. Well, also, we will actually see this sugya in tomorrow's daf. This is like a child who's eating non-kosher food. And if a child who's eating non-kosher food, at the end of the day, we don't really stop the child, because since the child is not commanded, since the child is not prohibited, it's not a big deal. So even if the child's doing something wrong, it's okay. So the Gemara says over here, I don't understand. So even if you're concerned over here in this Cherish and Chareshes case, let them eat. What's the big deal? To which the Gemara says, Gzeira Shemayochal Shemayachil Cherish Bepikachos. To which the Gemara says, no, 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 I'll tell you what the concern is. The concern is about if a Kherish Kohen is married to a Pikachas woman. So I'll say, so in this kind of case where you only have a rabbinic marriage, if the Pikachas woman were to eat biblical truma, she actually could be Chayiv Misa for such a situation. To which the Gemara says, V'cherish pe'pikachas nami lecho b'tshuma d'rabanon. So I don't understand, but what in the case of a cherish kohen is married to pikachas woman, let her eat tshuma d'rabanon. That should be okay, because after all, again, they're rabbinically married, therefore let her eat tshuma d'rabanon. To which the Gemara says, you're right, technically she can eat tshuma d'rabanon, but gzira dilma asi la'achla b'tshuma d'rai. So the concern is if we let her eat tshuma d'rabanon, she may come to go ahead and eat tshuma d'rai. So therefore, Rabbi said, it appears based on this Gemara, that in any case of chareshes, in any case of chiresh, there will be no truma consumption in such a marriage, even though technically speaking, in that kind of marriage, consumption of truma, rabbinic truma should be permitted. But out of the concern that if we allow truma d'rabban and you may come to truma d'oraisa, we prohibit everything. Umayshna kitana. The isluk suva, mashna chareshes, less luk suva. Why is it that in the case of a man marries a ketana, she has a ksuva? And in the case of a chareshes, the woman does not have a ksuva. The im came a mani velo naspi, velo nasuva. Because again, if a chareshes has a ksuva, a man's not going to marry her. Meaning, because the assumption already is that since a woman is a chareshes, is compromised, so you have to kind of, to a certain degree, almost incentivize such a marriage by not having a ksuva. There's no financial obligation of the husband. But if should you put a ksuva there, a man's not going to go ahead and marry this woman. So the Gemara says, Ketana. So first of all, and Rashi points out, but a Ketana is going to become a Gedola. So therefore, her Katnus state is not eternal. It's only for a little while. Therefore, a man's willing to go ahead and pay a Ksuva. Ketana milal ninal dislike Ksuva. How do we know that a Ketana, in fact, does have a Ksuva? This nan, because we learned, Hamima enes v'hashniya v'aylan is, if a girl does miun, or a shnia. Shnia, remember, is rabbinic arayos. Violinist woman incapable of having children. Ein la ksuva. All of these women do not have a ksuva. Aval yotza beget. But ultimately, again, they have the ability to leave the marriage through a get. Uktana yesh la ksuva. But a ketana does have a ksuva. So here again, you see that the Brice explicitly says that the ketana is not mentioned in that list. Therefore, we see that the ketana does have a ksuva. V'chareshes minal on the less la ksuva. How do you know that a chareshes does not have a ksuva? Disanya chereish v'shota shenasu. So what happens if a man who is a cheresh or a shota marries a pikachos, even if at the end of the day the cheresh becomes competent or the shota becomes normal, these women have absolutely no claim against them. Rashi says, "Ein aleihem klum, the ein lehem das, the ein tinao harishon tonai, the af agav the talking rabbani is one lecherish, the talking rabbani ksuva minei." So I'll say, even though again these men's status changed, nevertheless, lemaisa again, the wife has no claim of a ksuva. So the ratzila kama yeshlan ksuva. However, again, after the moment that they become normal, so to speak, if the men want to perpetuate the marriage at that point in time forward, then the women, in fact, do have a claim for a ksuva. Upekeach shenasa chareshes o shota. But if a man who marries a chareshes or a shota, afaf afilu kasavla meyamana ksuva kayemes. So very interesting. However, if a pikeach marries a chareshes or a shota or a regular man marries a shota, if he writes her a document saying that he's going to pay her 100 mana, then he has the ability. Then that document stands. Why? Because he has willingly undertaken this obligation. So again, the Bryce is saying, if a man wants to willingly commit himself to a ksuva, he absolutely has that right. Taima d'ratza. The reason why he's obligated is because he made a choice to do so. Halo ratza. What you see from here is that if he did not willingly commit himself to a ksuva, then aimlo. Then in fact, again, she has no claim. So if from here you see the imkain memani velo naspila. Because if people know that, if a man knows that a chareshes is going to have a ksuva, again, it's another strike against marrying her, and he's not going to marry her. So from here you see that lemaisa again a chareshes does not have a ksuva. Kitana does, chareshes does not. Ihachi pikachas lecheresh liskan la ksuva. The imkain memani velo minsabi. Well, if that's the case, then if, let's say, you have a chirish man who is marrying a pikachos, there should be a ksuva. Now, I will say, the assumption over here now is that in any case of chirish, whether he's the chirish or she's the chareshes, there is no ksuva. But in a case of where a chirish man is marrying a pikachos, there should be a ksuva in that case. Why? Because why don't we say, if there's no ksuva, she is not going to marry him, and for a chirish man to marry a pikachos woman is a good thing. We should incentivize it by creating a ksuva, to which the Gemara says a very interesting principle. Yoser me ish rotze lisa, isha rotze lihinase. More than a man wants to marry, a woman wants to marry. In other words, apparently, you only have to incentivize marriage for men. You don't have to incentivize marriage for women, because women in general have a greater incentive to marry. There was a particular cheresh who lived in the community of Rav Malkio. And Sebe Isisa, he married a woman. This is a man is a cheresh, woman is a pikachas. The kasav la arba meazuzi minichse, and he wrote her a ksuva 400 zuz from his property. Amar Rava, Rava said, man chachin krav Malkio, who is as smart as Rav Malkio? The gavar abu, he's such a great man. In other words, they assume that this was Rav Malkio's suggestion, kasavar, because it must be that the cheresh said to himself, ilo ratza shivcha l'sham sho milo zavinan le, kosh kin hacha di katarti. So it's very interesting. So the cheresh must have said to himself, listen, if he was going to hire a shifra, domestic help, he'd have to pay anyway. So when he gets a wife, maybe this is also not a good sheva bracha zvart. So if he gets a wife, again, he gets the domestic help, plus he goes in and gets the companionship as well as the intimacy. So all of these things put together certainly, again, are worth it for him to obligate himself in ksuva. So again, here you see it's emphasizing the same point, which is that at the end of the day, there is no obligation in ksuva. But Lamaisa, as we all know, a man could still choose to obligate himself in that situation. Amar Rav Chiya bar Arashi, Amar Shmuel, Eishas Cherish in Chayav and Aleim Asham Talui. So Rav Chiya bar Arashi said in Shmuel that if a man has relations with the wife of a Cherish, meaning another man's wife, but she's the wife of a Cherish, you are not Chayiv on her in Asham Talui. Meaning, I will say, this seems to be another way of saying, if you look at Rashi, Ein chayav nale asham taloi, dinema safek ishes ishi, safek haya bodas, safek inbo, va'apo aleb asham taloi, devada ein lo shum kinyan min haTorah. Since there is no biblical obligation, since there is no biblical marriage here, so therefore again, an asham taloi is in a situation where you're not sure, did I violate, did I not violate? So apparently with the Gemara saying over here, Rav Chiya bar Arashi saying over here, name of Shmuel, that there's no din of asham taloi, because pretty much we know there's no valid biblical marriage here. It's not the pshat that maybe it's valid, maybe it's not valid. There is no biblically valid marriage here. So let's bring a proof to this. So let's say bring a brisa that supports this. Chamisha lo yisromu. There are five people that shouldn't take truma. Ve'im tarmu ein truma san truma. Five people who are essentially not competent, and therefore again they should not separate out truma. And if they did, their separation is not valid. Ve'eluhein. These are they. Cheresh shota ve'katan. And someone who tithes produce that is not his. And furthermore, if a Gentile separated out truma for a Jew, even with the Jew's permission, at the end of the day, such a truma is not good. So the Gemara says, so you see over here that the act of a chiresh is halachically irrelevant and inconsequential. So the same way that his truma separation is not good, so to the marriage that he effects is not good, and therefore if one has relations with his wife, he's not chayiv even in Asham Taloi. There's not even a possibility that there's a biblical marriage, and therefore again, no problem. Obviously, it's Asr Midrabanon, but not Asr Midaraisa, to which the Gemara says, it must be that Rav Chiya bar Arashi, or Shmuel, holds like Rabbi Elazar. What does Rabbi Elazar say? Disanya, Rabbi Yitzchok, Mishum, Rabbi Elazar, Trumas Cheresh, Loteitzi Lechulin, Mepnei Shehu Safek. Oh, so it was interesting. Rabbi Elazar holds that if a cheresh does go ahead and separate out truma, so although such a separation we say should not be done, but yet it's not yotze lechulin. It doesn't simply resume its chulin status once again. So you see from here that according to Rabbi Elazar, we're not exactly sure about the status of a cheresh's actions. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, isvira k'Rabbi Elazar, asham tolei nami lechayv. So if that's the case, that Rav Chiya Ba'ashi holds like Rebbe Lazar, then Rebbe Lazar holds that we're not sure about the nature of the actions of a cheresh. If that's the case, that if one has relations with the wife of a cheresh, then ein achinami what? Ein achinami, you should be chayven asham talui. To which the Gemara says, no, you're not chayven asham talui for another reason. The Gemara says, ba'inon chaticha mishtei chatichos. Because in the case of an asham talui, you require what we call chaticha mishtei chatichos. Asham talui is a case of where you have two items in front of you, one is prohibited, one is permitted, and you're not sure which one you consumed or which one you used. You need two distinct entities. In this case over here, you don't have two distinct entities, and therefore, again, there's no Ashan Taloi. Umi by Rebbe Lazar Chaticha Mishtei Chatichos. Is that true that Rebbe Lazar requires two distinct pieces for Ashan Taloi? Vahatanya, Rebbe Lazar Omer, Koi Chayavan Al Chalbo Asham Taloi. We'll say Koi is a type of animal where there's a suffix if it's a behemoth or if it's a chayav, domestic animal or non-domesticated animal. The nafkamina will be in its chaylev, in its forbidden fats. Chaylev is only usher by a behemoth. It is not usher by a chayav. So the question is, if I eat the chaylev of a koi, what's the halacha? So Rebbe Lazar says, I'm chayav and Asham Taloi. So what do you see over here? You see over here that Lamaisa, again, that Lamaisa, you bring in Asham Taloi, even when it's not Shtei Gufin, even when it's not two bodies, to which the Gemara answers, Savar Rebbe Lazar Bechado, Upaligale Bechado, so he holds the Rebbe Lazar in one situation, right, in one case, and doesn't hold like Rebbe Lazar in the other case. In other words, Rebbe said that he holds like Rebbe Lazar, that Lamaisa, again, he holds like Rebbe Lazar in the case of the Cheresh, but doesn't hold like Rebbe Lazar in the case of the Koi, to which the Gemara says, Vigidarmi, others explain, Amneb Chibar Ashi Amar Shmuel, Eishas Cheresh Chayovin Alea Asham Taloi. So there's another version of the same exchange. Rebbe Chibar Ashi Senei Mishmuel, that the wife of a Cheresh, if you have relations with her, you are Chayvin Asham Taloi, Meisvei Chamisha Lo Yisramu, but then the Gemara brings up the braisa that says that if a cheresh separated shuma, it's not a good separation. Savrala Rebbe Lazar, and in this version, the way it has it is that he holds like Rebbe Lazar, and therefore the same way that Rebbe Lazar holds that the truma of the cheresh does not fully go out to chulin. It's a suffix about what it is. So too again, eishes cheresh is also a suffix. Therefore, you will be chayv in asham talo. So machlokes exactly how to understand the statement of Rav Chiya bar Ashi, but Rebbe say it appears that Rama does paskin like the initial statement of Rav Chiya bar Ashi, that you are not chayv in asham taloi for relations for adultery with the wife of a cheresh. It is asr midirabanan, but there is absolutely no biblical prohibition involved, not even a suffix of a biblical prohibition. Therefore, no asham taloi. That is halacha lemaisa. Ba Rav Ashi, my time, Rabbi Lazar. What's Rabbi Lazar's logic? So mifshat pshitalei the cheresh daita kalishtahu. So what's Rebbe Lazar's shita when it comes to cheresh? So is it clear to him that when it comes to cheresh, daita kalishta, daita kalishta is daka, kolomer daita mu'ata, she'in muchuda lahavin kishar b'nei adam. That a cheresh obviously has a compromised das, that's what it means, daita kalishta. U'miu misafkile, I daita tzilusa, on the base, I daita tzilusa, I lav daita tzilusa. Or is his question is, if you look at Rashi on Amud Aleph, So the question is like this. If we accept, so how does Rebbe Lazar view the Cheresh? Do we say that yes, he has compromised das, but that das that he has is absolutely clear. That das that he has is absolutely solid. That's one way of looking at it. And again, and it's a continuous period of compromise, yet clear das. However, uli olam chada daituhu, but he maintains one state throughout his entire life. O dilma pshitale de daite kalishta. Or, no, we accept the fact, of course, that he has compromised das, but it's not clear. It's not clear. It's not silusa. V'hacha haynu taima kevan de'itim chalim ve'itim shota. And so, see, and when it comes to the cheresh, sometimes he has clarity, sometimes he doesn't have clarity. So we'll say it's a fundamental chakira in the das of a cheresh. Everyone accepts that a cheresh obviously has compromised das. That we know. So the question is the compromised das, does he have clarity of das the entire time, albeit compromised? Or do we say, no, he has compromised das, sometimes he has clarity, sometimes he doesn't have clarity. So the Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina. The Gemara says, oh, I'm sorry. That's a practical difference. So the Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina, lohoti ishto beget. If he marries a woman, can he divorce her with a get? So if you say that, true, that the Cheresh has compromised Das, but it's one continuous period of compromised Kliyet, clear Das, then the same way he married his wife, he could divorce his wife. But if you say, no, he has compromised Das, but sometimes he's clear, has clarity, sometimes he does not, then what? Even if he was able to marry her, how do we know at the moment that he wants to do Gerushin that he will have that same level of clarity to which the Gemara says, my, what's the halacha? Teiku. So we'll say, so the Gemara ends off essentially with a fundamental machlokes in the nature of Cherish. Now it appears that we essentially accept the first approach, that a Cherish has compromised, albeit clear das, and we assume that it's a continuous state of compromised clear das. Therefore, the same way as we saw before that he's able to affect Kiddushin Beremiza, we saw this in yesterday's daf with the gesturing, right? All those same mechanics, so too he's able to go ahead and affect Gerushin with the same mechanics as well. Nishtatis. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi say Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tvar Torah, Shota Miskareshes, so Midda Oreisa, Shota can be divorced. Why? Midi Dehava Pikachas Bal Karcha, because we'll say the truth is, it's no different than a woman who is fully competent who could be divorced against her will. Meaning, the idea over here is you don't need Das. A woman doesn't require Das in order to be divorced. If that's the case, then a Shota should be able to be divorced as well. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaro. So the Gemara says, Umatam Amru Einu Megareshes. So why is it that we say that she can't be divorced? Shelo Yinagu Ba Minag Hefker. Oh, we're concerned that if a husband divorces his Shota wife, other men will take advantage of her. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what's the case over here of the Shota? Ilem Yodas L'Shmar Gita V'Yodas L'Shmar Atzma. If it's a case where although she's a shota, she knows how to guard her get and she knows how to guard her physical person, mina giba mina kefkar, then no one's going to be able to take advantage of her because she could guard her purse herself. Ella, the enyo das lishmor lo gita v'lo atzma. Rather, it must be again that it's a case where she doesn't know, she's not mentally competent enough to watch herself or to watch her get. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Devar Torah shota miskareshes. So are you telling me that in such a circumstance where the woman can't guard herself and she can't guard her get, that technically midoraisi you could divorce her? It's not true. V'ha omri debei Rabbi Yanai. They said over in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, V'nasan biyada, you will place the get in her hand. Mishi yesh l'yad l'garish atzma. Yatzes azu she'in l'yad l'garish atzma. The Torah says you shall place the get in her hand. And we will learn in Gittin that that means that she has to have the ability to guard something in her hand. She has to have the hand to be able to become divorced herself. But if a woman doesn't quote-unquote have the hand, i.e., she lacks the intellect to be able to even guard the get while it's in her hand, then she cannot be divorced. Furthermore, we learn the Shira Bishmal. The Shulchami Beso, the Torah says that when you divorce, you'll send away from your home. This refers to a woman who, when she's sent away from her husband's home, does not return. Yatzis Azu, but if a woman is totally mentally incompetent, you send her away, but she still comes back. So the Gemara says, So halacha l'maaseh, you see over here that if a woman is so mentally compromised that either she can't guard her get in her hand, or when you send her away, she comes back home, that l'maaseh again, she's not divorced. So how can you say that under all circumstances a husband could divorce his shota wife? To which the Gemara says, Tzricha deodas lishmar gita ve'ene yodas lishmar atzma. Oh, what's the case? The case is where she has the ability to watch her get, but she doesn't have the ability to watch herself. Devar Torah shota miskareshes. So really, on a biblical level, she can be divorced, because as long as she has the das to be able to guard something that's in her hand, that's enough. Dahayu das l'shmar gita. The Amar Rabbanu, the Rabbi, stepped in and said that because she can't guard herself, Lo lifka, husband can't divorce her. Why? Shelo yina guba mina kefker. In order that men not go ahead and take advantage of her. So what I see here, you have a situation where, biblically speaking, you can go ahead and divorce the woman because she is capable of guarding her get, but yet again, midrabanan, you may not, because she cannot take care of herself. Amr Abaye, Dekanami Diktani. The truth is, you could also see this in the Mishnah. Diktani Gaba Dide, Nishtatis Lo Yotzi. Because it says, Diktani Gabi Dida. When it speaks about the woman, it says that if she became insane, Lo Yotzi, he may not divorce her. Vagabi Dide, but yet in the case of where the husband is insane, he's the Shota, it says, Lo Yotzi Olamis, he can never divorce her. Why is it by, if the man is a shota, it says he can never divorce her forever, but if she's a shota, it doesn't say forever. What's the difference? Ella shmamina hadoraisa hadrabanan. Very simply, says the Gemara, because when he is a shota, then again he is asr min daoraisa from divorcing her, because divorce requires das of the baal, and without the das of the baal, there is no divorce. However, again, if she is a shota, technically speaking, as long as she can guard the get in her hand, technically he can divorce her. But that's where the rabbi stepped in and said, the only time you could divorce a shota is if she's capable of guarding not just the get in her hand, but her person as well. But if she is not capable of guarding her person, then l'maisi gamid rabbanan, you are not permitted to divorce such a woman. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ish pshitza. So the Gemara over here is making reference to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was bothered by that. Why is it that if the isha is nischarsha, she can go ahead and be divorced, but yet if the ish is nischarish, right? This is talking about where a man became a deaf mute. He was a competent person when he got married, but then ultimately became a cherish, that he cannot go ahead and divorce his wife. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is bothered. Why that distinction? So between a man and a woman. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, does he understand why it is that a man can't divorce, but a woman can? Ol Dilma, Isha Pshitalei, V'ish Kami Baile. Or perhaps, again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri understands why women can be divorced, but he's bothered by why a man who's a Chirish can't divorce. Tashma, Midika Amrulei, Eino Doma Ha'isha Megarish L'isha Miskareshes. From the fact that in the Mishnah they responded to him that you can't compare a man who divorces to a woman who is divorced. Sha'isha Yotzeis L'irtzona V'shlo L'irtzona. Because a woman gets divorced with her will, with her consent, or without her consent, va'ish eino motzi ela lirtzono, and a man can only divorce with his own consent, his own desire. Shmamina ish kami boile. It would appear that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's problem was he didn't understand why a man who's a chirish cannot divorce. So therefore, they had to explain to him. No, you have to explain to him as major distinction. A woman doesn't require das in order to get divorced. She could even be divorced without her das, against her das. Therefore, if she becomes a chareshes, it's not quote unquote a big deal agabe gerishin. But a man whose das is required in order to go ahead and divorce his wife, only if he has das can the divorce take effect. But if he doesn't have das, the divorce can't take effect. So the Gemara says, Adraba. I could see just the opposite. Midika amrale af zukiyotze ba shmamina isha kami ba'ile. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said af zu, even this case should be like this one. And I remember again going back to the Mishnah for just a moment, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is referring to over here is in the case of the pikach shenasa pikachas v'nischarsha, right? She became a pikach who married a pikachas, and she became a chareshes, or he same thing, or pikach shenasa pikachas, and he became a nischaresh. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, I don't understand why is it that a man and woman are different. So ultimately, the Mishnah, the Rabbanon respond to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and then afterwards you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada who says, af zuki yotzei bazeh. This case should be, and Rabbi Yochanan, we'll see Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada in just a moment, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada's case was the chareshes she'esia avia she'yotze beget amrulo af zu ki'yotze ba. We'll come back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in just a moment. But the Gemara says, from the fact that he responded to him, af zu ki'yotze ba, shmamina isha kami boile. It would appear that he was asking not on the case of the ish, but he was asking on the case of the isha. Ela Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri l'divreim kamar lehum. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was speaking to the words of the Rabbanon. Lididi, according to me, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, ki echidi ish lamatzi megareish, itzana isha nami la megarsha. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, listen, according to me, in the same way that a man can't divorce without das, so too, again, a woman cannot divorce without das as well. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, isha nami la megarsha, va'ala kamais la rabbanon rai l'divreim, sorry, I will come back to that actually. So the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, according to me, the same way that if the man lacks das, he can't divorce. So too, if the woman lacks das, she also can't divorce. But according to you, why do you make a distinction between isha and isha? To which the Gemara says, and amrulei. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri apparently holds that in both a court for an isha and for an isha, they cannot be divorced without das. He asks, according to the Rabbanon, why do you make a distinction? And the Rabbanon explained that is because men and women are fundamentally different in the divorce process itself. That a man requires das, and therefore if he becomes a chereish, he cannot divorce her. But a woman does not require das, and therefore again, even if she is a chereshes, even if she's a chareshes, she could still divorce. Let's go, let's just do a few more lines. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan. So remember again, the next case was Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, who spoke about a case of a chareshes who was married off by her father. Shehi yotze beget, that she can go ahead and be divorced with, she could be divorced with a get. And Rashi says over here, this is a case of where the father married her off as a ketana. He was mekabel kiddushin. So remember, even though it's the father marrying her off, remember this is still a rabbinic marriage. This is still a rabbinic marriage. However, again, she could be makabel get, right? Again, paka koacha av makabelas he is kita. She could receive her get later on. And the Gemara wanted to suggest that avzu, the case of pikachos shenischarsha, the case of a woman who entered into a marriage as a pikachos and then became a chareshes, she also should be able to be divorced with a get, because she should be no different than this case of the chareshes who was married off by her father. And the same way that if the chareshes is married off by her father, she could be mekabel her get afterwards. So too, if a woman was a pikachos, married a man as a pikachos, then became a chareshes, she should also be able to receive her get. So the Gemara says, Amar Amarava meiduso Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. Based on the testimony of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, listen to this case. Amar le'edin, if a man said to witnesses, Re'u get zeh sha'ani nosein, see this get that I am going to go ahead and give my wife. So meaning a man says before witnesses, he's giving the get before witnesses, I'm giving this get to my wife. Va'amar la, and he says to her, this is a regular case. This is not chareshes. This is not a regular case. Man divorcing his wife. Says to him, about to give her a get, and then he says to his wife, "Amrla kinsi shtar chovze." He says to her, "Acquire this financial document." Now, so meaning he lost her, and instead of telling her it's a get, he tells her that it's a financial document. What's the halacha? Harezu migureshes. She is divorced, because again, remember, even though she thought she was acquiring something else, it makes absolutely no difference, because Girishin does not require her das. Therefore, she is divorced. So the Gemara says, Milo Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, lo ba'inan daita, hachanami, lo ba'inan daita. So I don't understand. What's the chiddush here? Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada is already on record as saying that a woman does not need das. She does not need consent or intellect in order to be able to accept her get. Vaharai, in the case of the chareshes, he allows for the chareshes to accept her get. So what's the chiddush over here? Well, of course this case works. There's no novelty. Pshita, it's obvious. Mao detain, what would I have thought? Mida Amar Lei Kinsi, I might have thought that now that he's calling this document a financial document, maybe he's being mavatal the get. Maybe because he's lying about the identity of this document, he's actually being mavatal the get. No, it's not true. He's not being mavatal the get, because iisa de batle, because if indeed he was being mavatal the get, le'edim hava ka'amar lehu, he would have told the witnesses that. Umidalo amar le'edim lo batla velo midi. And the fact that he did not tell the witnesses that he was being mavatal the get, but all he told the witnesses was, I'm giving my wife a get, therefore again, he was not mavatal it at all. I v'hai de ka'amar li machmas, ki sufahu de ka'amar. And I will say, so therefore, why does he go ahead and tell his wife that it's a financial document because he is embarrassed. He's too embarrassed to go ahead and tell her that indeed he is divorcing her, and therefore, again, he just simply tells her it's a financial document and asks her to go ahead and acquire it. All right, the boss, I will stop over here for today. So we end off with the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, the interesting and novel case that halacha lemaisa, according, we'll see if it's halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada allows the chareshes to essentially be makabel her get, reinforcing this idea that a isha does not require das when receiving her get. So we'll stop over, we'll pick up Emir Hashem tomorrow with Rav Yitzchak bar Bisno. Right, we ended off with Haki Machmas Kisufu to Kamar. He changes the reality of this document because he's embarrassed of her. We'll pick up Rabbi Yitzchak by Bisna tomorrow. Again, a very special thank you to Maishi Abramson for arranging the video share today. And Amir Hashem, I look forward to being back with all of you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day and enjoy the rest of your weekend.